This is Action Podcast with Paul Bailey and Gina Baxter. Hey Gina, well, welcome to New York. This is our first international cross the pond podcast.
It is very exciting. Paul. It is. It's incredibly exciting. I'm actually talking to you from the 14th floor on the corner of... Well, I won't give out the address in case I get stalkers, but it's suffice to say, I'm very excited to be here, yes.
In the middle of New York. Fantastic. Well, now you've finished with your big move and your big event, I wanted to actually talk to you about preparing for big events and things like that, because I recently had a client who... she recently became a head teacher for a primary school, so talking like ages, what is it, 5 to 11, and she deserved the job. She got hired for it, you know, it was all, everybody believed that she was willing and capable of doing it. And she didn't have a problem with the job either. The thing that she was absolutely petrified of was that she had to hold her first assembly and then just straight after that her first staff meeting.
Heavy.
So it's kind of like a mixed combination of public speaking with about 1,500 children in front of you just waiting for you to fail.
Oh, terrifying, terrifying.
And so then followed that up with her head teacher, her peers, then basically judging her straight after. It was quite a terrifying situation.
Yeah, that's massive. So how did she get on then? How did you coach her?
Well, basically, what I asked her to do was think about actually doing those things in your mind, first of all. So let's just, you know, allow the fear just to have its little say. Because otherwise, if you think about it, you hear this fear, you stop thinking about it, you try and put it away. So we went through for a little bit, walking through the scenario of her doing the assembly and doing the meeting afterwards, and just kind of experiencing what the fear was saying to her in the back of her head. You're going to fail, you're going to mess it up, everybody's going to laugh at you. And just you know, get it out of the way, let it have its say. And then the second time we went through it again, and this time we challenged the fear each time it came up.
Wow.
And we would listen to what the fear had to say, and then we'd either say, we'd kind of give it a rating, saying, well, how likely is that to happen? Is that just fear going crazy, or is this actually something sensible that it's trying to warn you about?
What was her biggest fear that was coming up for her?
The biggest fear was two things. The making a fool of herself in front of the children and just getting laughed at and not being able to hold their attention. So she just basically wanted to make sure she had some kind of presence on the stage.
Pretty crucial.
And then in the staff meeting afterwards, it was going to be, well, what if I get somebody that's going to be a little bit, you know, trying to throw their weight around and be a little bit obnoxious and challenge me, basically. So for the assembly part of it, we talked around, okay, well, what do you need to do to relax and make sure that you are prepared and that you are going to have something interesting to say and you are going to keep their attention? And we sort of broke it down, and she decided that she knew roughly what she wanted to talk about, but it needed to be fleshed out a little bit more. And then for the meeting itself, we went through scenarios of everything each person could say that was going to trip her up.
good one. So she had she anticipated anyone in particular giving her grief, or were they all a bit funny?
They weren't all a bit funny. Were obviously, you know, there was always going to be somebody that was a bit more strong-willed, I guess, is the best way to put it. And so we went through what they could say, and it really did boil down to this one particular person who she went through a scenario of some of the things that they would come up with to trip her up. And we obviously came up with some solutions to that, some ways of dealing with those questions and answering them in a professional, mature and unemotional way.
That's the key, unemotional, isn't it? Then they've got nothing to hook onto.
Yeah. And I'm absolutely delighted to be able to report that apparently assembly was absolutely fantastic. She had them eating out of the palm of her hand.
Oh, brilliant.
And with the meeting afterwards, that person didn't fail her. That person did try to trip her up. But by some massive coincidence or some magical work of intuition, she actually tried to trip her up with the question that she had already thought of. So she had the instant answer. It was just brilliant. I wish I had been there to watch it.
She must have been so relieved at the end, but and also really empowered as well.
Yeah.
That just shows the value kind of preparation, too? Doesn't it? Really?
It does. So have you had this experience too, or maybe coached somebody similar to this?
Yes, I have. Last summer, a client of mine was going for a very, very important interview. They'd never met the interviewers at all. It was a panel, but from a different office. It was from the head office that they worked with. And he was absolutely terrified because he wasn't really sure whether he wanted this promotion, but he'd been asked to put himself forward. He loved the challenge. He thought, great, I'm going to go for it. But he had no idea what they were going to ask him. So firstly, we had to work out, you know, did he really want this job?
Right.
And if he did want the job, then what were the reasons and where did he see himself taking this job? And also, very importantly, what was he offering the new team? Because it meant a move to a different region, regional office as well. He was in sales.
Right.
So those are three very important factors that we looked at to help him prepare. And pretty similarly with your own client, to anticipate the kind of questions that he might be asked, really difficult questions, so that he would walk into that room, great suit, head held high, feeling, yes, I deserve to be here. Whether he actually wanted to take the job or not was almost irrelevant. It was just being in that moment and being able to express himself confidently, so that they would really see the best of him, that they were really the key points. And it worked incredibly well. He was offered the job, but he actually decided not to take it.
So wow.
It meant to move to Wales, and he's kind of diehard Londoner, really, and he didn't really want to move over to the valleys, unfortunately. So he decided not to go for it, but it gave him incredible experience for the next job that he did go for, which he succeeded in.
Tell me more about his experience.
Yes, it really taught me and obviously my client, even more importantly, the value of preparation and anticipating the kind of questions that interviewers may ask. You know, it's important to read up about the company, find out as much as you can about them. You know, what's the share price doing? What kind of movement is going on? That kind of thing. You're not going to have insider information, but there's a lot available online, or just call up the company and ask questions. And really, I think also as well, we don't seem to do this so much in England, but I've noticed here, and I've only been here a week, that they're very much, here I am, listen to what I got to say. And it's all about taking up space here in the US of A, you know, which is fantastic. It really is. It's a very, very different attitude. Mm. And I think it's great to actually, you know, go in there, feel confident and know what you're talking about.
Yes, it's funny, isn't it? Because both the people that we've talked about were clearly qualified and had every right to be there doing that job or doing that interview, because, you know, your client got the job and my client was already the head teacher.
Yeah.
So there was nobody else was doubting them. The only thing was that they knew that there was a chance that if they didn't prepare for this appropriately, they'll just fall flat on their faces.
Mm.
And there's no need for it whatsoever.
I think this is the thing. I mean, in some situations, I know myself, I've been able to give it a bit of the old Billy Bull and scraped through. But that doesn't always go down very well. And people really aren't into waffling. They've got a limited amount of time to hear what you've got to say. And they're assuming that you're going to present yourself in the best light and that you've actually prepared. And I think whether it's public speaking or whether it's an interview or any other situation where you've got to give of your best and really sell yourself, then preparation is absolutely essential. you know.
Yes.
Even for exams and, you know, things like this. I wish I'd prepared more when I was younger, and I didn't. I left everything to the last minute, and probably didn't do as well as I could have done because of that. So that's something I always impress upon clients. Prepare, prepare, prepare.
Yeah. Even if it means that ultimately when you get there, you have to deviate from the plan or deviate from your track, at least the preparation that you've done will give you a rough guide as to how to get through the scenario.
Exactly. Then you've got a safety net, and it's not about, you know, going through a list of points like an automaton. It's about relaxing, engaging with the people that you're with, your audience, really, showing some flexibility. But then you've also got these little nuggets that you prepared that you can pull out of your hat at any given moment without falling flat on your face,
which is never a good thing.
Never a good thing, no. Not on concrete, no.
All right. Well, I think that just about covers it, actually. So,
I'm
glad that both of our clients have managed to work through their big moments or big days or big events and come out shining. So, yeah. Well done to them. Big pats on the back.
Yeah, absolutely. They both did really well.
All right. Well, it's been wonderful to speak to you across the pond, Gina, and have a great time in New York. And I'll speak to you very soon. You take care.
Thanks so much. Bye, Paul. So tonight we've been talking about preparing for a big event in your life, and that could be an interview, or it could be giving a speech, or any kind of public speaking, for example. Or it could just be preparing for exams. And both Paul and I have noticed that with clients, preparation really is key. So the first thing to do is walk through the interview in your mind and anticipate any difficult questions you might have, things that might really stump you, so that you can be on the ball if they get asked. This preparation is really key because it gives you a safety net. It's a guideline that you can use to support you. It doesn't mean that you have to go through points 1, 2, 3 like an automaton, but it's something you can draw on to really give you added oomph. Being well prepared means that you have a much greater chance of success. So good luck.